This is Weekend Edition from NPR News. I'm Scott Simon.
Well, nothing's changed in terms of the president's view. And if you look at the report that was issued by Charles Duffer, again, it made very clear that the regime retained the intent and capability, that Saddam Hussein was pursuing an aggressive strategy to undermine the UN oil for food program and bring down the United Nations sanctions through illicit finance and procurement schemes, and that he intended to resume his pursuit of weapons of mass destruction once those sanctions were eliminated.
White House spokesman Scott McClellan speaking Wednesday at the White House about the official end of the unsuccessful search for weapons of mass destruction in Iraq. NPR senior news analyst Dan Shore joins us now. Good morning, Dan.
Good morning, Scott.
And what does this mean, the end of the search for weapons of mass destruction?
Well, you would not expect the administration to say, boy, did we make a mistake. We got 1,355 American soldiers killed and got a country torn up. Whatever the administration may say now about a potential threat, they are in effect admitting that there was no imminent threat of the kind that would justify preventive or preemptive war. You ask yourself this question: if President Bush had known then what he knows now, would he have invaded Iraq? You know, I'm not sure the answer, because very early in his term, he seemed bent on bringing down Saddam Hussein. What's remarkable, Scott, is how little the public seems to be outraged at what we're now learning.
Is part of that due to the fact that it is Saddam Hussein? And in fact, he probably could have cleared that up by being more forthcoming with UN inspectors and keeping the record of destruction and other things that were required under the agreement that ended the first Gulf War.
It's true that a great deal of wool was pulled over our eyes by Saddam Hussein. But it's also true that they did not have what you would call the conditions that would justify invading a country.
Let's take a look at the elections, which, of course, are proceeding a little more than a couple weeks away in Iraq, and violence is continuing there every week. This week, a chief aide to Ayatollah Ali Sistani was killed, along with his son and bodyguards. Now, the Ayatollah al-Sistani is the Shiite cleric who is supporting participation in the upcoming election.
Exactly.
Does this suggest to you a kind of refining of tactics by members of the insurgency?
Well, a group that calls itself Ansar al-Islam, which is apparently connected with al-Qaeda, claims credit for this assassination and says they did it because he was a big supporter of the election. The attack on a Shiite community leader, an associate of the big leader, the Ayatollah Sistani, suggests that this is partly a state of civil war that is going on there. The Sunnis are unwilling to yield power, which they exercised for all these years, to a Shiite majority. And so apparently some of them now are using this opportunity to try to sabotage the election, and I think they'll go on trying after the election is over.
Report from the National Intelligence Council that was released this week says that Iraq has replaced Afghanistan as an active training ground for terrorists.
That's a great irony there. You know, one of the reasons for invading Iraq was imminent threat of weapons, not there. The other was the fact that the terrorists were supposedly in charge there, al-Qaeda and all the rest. And the fact of the matter is, in the supreme unhappy chapter in our history, is that the terrorists that President Bush said were there and were not are there now. I mean, Iraq has become a training ground, a recruitment center, a magnet for terrorists from all over the region, the way Afghanistan did for people from the Middle East, and maybe not limited to the Middle East.
And while we're talking about events surrounding this, yesterday, Specialist Charles Grainer was convicted by U.S. Army court-martial for his role in the prison abuse at Abu Ghraib. Sentencing, of course, is expected today.
Grainer was the leader, perhaps you should call him the ringleader, of the group that was shown in those awful pictures having a lot of fun torturing prisoners. Just imagine what the effect would be if Grainer had not been convicted. The field day for Al Jazeera and all a wave of anti-American feeling again all through the Middle East. The jury that brought in this verdict included 4 Army officers and 6 senior Army enlisted men. And it didn't take them very long to make up their minds, 5 hours. And one can breathe more easily a little bit knowing that soldiers understood what was involved here.
Mahmoud Abbas was sworn in today as president of the Palestinian Authority. Of course, it was a hope among a great many people that new Palestinian leadership would put some kind of new impetus into a peace process.
Yeah.
But on Thursday, six Israelis were killed at a Gaza border crossing.
Yes.
And Prime Minister Sharon announced that Israel was cutting any contact with the Palestinian Authority. Do you see this lasting, or is this something that Prime Minister Sharon does do to be able to step away from it?
Well, I'll tell you, Scott, generally you can't go wrong betting on bad trouble between Israelis and the Palestinians. Clearly, Prime Minister Sharon is trying to put pressure on President Abbas to rein in the killers. Abbas has appealed for an end to violence, which he says is counterproductive from their point of view. And the question is how much control Abbas has. And that's what we'll have to find out. But if the murders of Israeli lead Sharon to break with the Palestinians, that is, in effect, a victory for those who did it.
The people who committed the crimes.
Yes.
Here in the United States, the president has announced that Michael Chertoff, federal appeals judge, is his nominee to head the new Department of Homeland Security.
Mm-hmm.
What's known about Judge Chertoff?
Well, after the big fiasco with Bernie Kerik, whose candidacy collapsed in a welter of personal ethical problems. Chertoff is what you call a safe choice. Very smart, law enforcement veteran, previously confirmed for three other jobs. The real question is whether he has the enormous administrative savvy that one needs to manage this department of 188,000 people and lumping together 22 departments and agencies, or whether he can get some administrative genius to help him. But at least they got somebody who was a safe confirmation.
And I want to ask you about the I think a lot of people actually would like to hear your thoughts on the shakeup this week at CBS. Three top news executives, one producer, were fired after an investigative panel found fault with the 60 Minutes report on President Bush's National Guard record. The report turned out to be based on documents that may have been forgeries. And we should explain for the umpteenth time, Dan Rather is left untouched. What's your reaction to this report?
Thank heaven we only have a few seconds for this. Well, professionals allow themselves to become the victims of a hoax, and they're paying rather heavily. Dan Rather tried to show loyalty to his troops, and he is paying rather heavily. In March, he's supposed to leave the evening news and supposed to go to 60 Minutes on Wednesday. But now the word has come that 60 Minutes on Wednesday may be canceled in May. The trouble is that when you get into trouble, no matter how big you are, it's very hard to get rid of that trouble.
Thanks very much, Dan Shore.